You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 6 September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, we chat with Pepkle Radenhuis and what he's watching in the week ahead. Stephen Brown, CEO of Fortress with results. And then 4AX, they're going to rebrand to Cape Town Stock Exchange. Nice idea, but how does that fundamentally change things and generate more listings? Because currently they have 8 listings and about 5 of them have never traded. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb: Ascendas will spend 290 million rand on its recapitalization. Legal fees on those 3 transactions, 195 million. This is more than their market cap, which is only 274 million. And then from Business Day, Wilson Bailey says recovery in SA's construction sector is gaining momentum. Firm says roadwork projects, infrastructure jobs for the mining and energy, primary drivers behind local activity. Morning markets, US was mixed on Friday, S&P down 0.3, NASDAQ up 0.3, and the US is closed today for Labor Day. Asia's mixed, Sydney off 0.5%, Turkey up 1.8%. Commodities red this morning, although higher than Friday morning. We got gold at 18.29, palladium edging higher at 24.34. Rand 14.33, and top 40 opening call looking for a green open about 180 points higher. It's about 0.3%. That as Tencent trades 3% green in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Checking out with Pietri Radenhuis, founder at Herenia Capital Advisors. Pietri, morning. In your weekend update, you referred to markets grinding higher, and that's sort of the US indices, or in some cases, grinding sideways. That's us and the Russell 2000. The US dollar index, which had looked like it wanted to break higher, which means pretty much everything else comes under pressure. But Jackson Hole kind of stopped that in a track, now looking lower, which is therefore pretty much all other currencies and commodities should, in theory, move stronger.
Yeah, good morning. So, to touch on the dollar index thing, it did start looking like it was going to break out, like we're going to see a huge amount of dollar strength and this sort of risk-off scenario. But after the Jackson Hole symposium, Fed Chair Jerome Powell sort of making a lot of comments around how the Fed will continue to be supportive of markets and continue to, essentially for now, keep the money printer going. And that obviously creates a lot of, I want to say complacency, I guess. If we look at how hedge funds and things are positioned as well, everyone's almost long equities, right? There's hardly any room to move. But that sort of continued risk on sentiment and attitude, stays in place. So the dollar index is falling back a bit. And that reflation trade comes back to the table. So that, recovery from COVID, if you will. So commodities are stronger. We're starting to see, at least in China, a bit of a policy turnaround. We've had a period now where we've had sort of regulatory policy changes and all sorts of things that are very restrictive. Over the last few weeks, we've now seen that ease off a little bit, and we've seen some monetary stimulus coming into the Chinese market as well. So it seems as though that, the party carries on. The punch bowl is still at the table.
It is. No, everybody. Risk on and complacent. I take your point there. And then one of the metals, platinum, which is of the PGMs, being the disappointing one, I suppose, in some senses. Platinum looking like it could move higher. 1050 seems to be the level.
Well, it seems to be a level. It has been an important horizontal sort of level in the past. So we'll see exactly, whether or not it holds. Sometimes technical analysis can give you high probability setups, but they don't always work, right? Yeah,
fair enough.
Interesting times. I think if we do start seeing this reflation trade, right, that narrative starting to pick up, or that market theme starting to pick up a little bit, obviously we know a lot of these PGMs are used as catalytic converters in motor vehicles. There's been a bit of a chip shortage, so production has been down for some time. I think that chip shortage could potentially get a little worse into the end of the year if we see a cryptocurrency boom. But it seems as though, you know, that 1050 support level might be the one to hold. And we've seen it sort of bounce off of there for a couple of times in the past. And last week it put on a good reversal off that level. So there's a high probability setup, essentially an option to take. You know, for every one risk you take, you're looking at potentially making 3 to 4 reward. So, I mean, that's a good enough trade to set up and pay attention to.
Yeah, and of course that will then flow into the PGM miners because, I mean, we saw palladium up a little bit this morning. I mentioned that in the intro. Rhodium, I think, still perhaps a little bit stuck at the lower down. Yeah, rhodium's still a little bit under pressure, but yeah, $17,000. Let's not kid ourselves on that. Petri Rodenhuis, founder, Hirenya Capital Advisors, appreciate the time this morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Talking to Stephen Brown, CEO of Fortress. They had results out year-end June. Loan-to-value ratio down at 36.7%. Overall vacancy, 8.9%. And a 74.7-cent dividend for the A shares. Steve, appreciate the time today. The July violence in KZN, you issued a sense at the time detailing the impact. About 1% of your asset base, but not massive. But the question is, how is the repairs coming along?
So the repairs are coming. Actually, most of our shopping centres are up and running. Our biggest one that was impacted, Everton Mall, is now up and trading. The ones where there was some fires is a bigger problem, so like in Empangeni. But the retail side is actually going quite well, and then we lost one warehouse which was totally destroyed, which we need to rebuild.
Okay, that's quite smart. Some of the folks are seriously struggling in that space. During the year under review, you sold, 1.65 billion during the year. You're actually getting some really good prices for those disposals. You've been selling sort of bits and pieces here and there, still a bit to go, and happy with the prices that you're getting in the market?
Very happy, Simon. I think it's been wonderful to see those deals get done at an average of, you know, above our book value. Mm-hmm. But it's tough going. One by one is tough going to owner occupiers and smaller investors. But I think that's the base case that we've seen in the absence of the big portfolio transactions. And it actually matches the cash flow that we spend on our development pipeline quite nicely at roughly R1 billion a year.
You mentioned in the results as well that you're seeing a fair bit of resurgence in trading in your commuter and convenience retail portfolio. In fact, in some cases, better than 2019 comparatives. This is a key focus for the group, is that sort of convenience retail along with logistics?
Absolutely. That's our core. So, you know, we've really got two core competencies, and that's developing, owning, managing bigger logistics assets, and then convenience and commuter and some rural retail shopping centers. That's really where we want to take the portfolio of our assets, is into those two core areas in which we think we can add value and have got deep expertise.
The plan ultimately, a third of that convenience retail, the other two thirds as logistics you referred to, the logistics will be South Africa and then also Central Eastern Europe. How close are you getting to that sort of ratio in terms of one third, two thirds?
So probably still, I would say, about 3 years away, 3 to 4 mm-hmm. years away. We still need to sell our non-core and roll out our pipeline. We've got about 400,000 square meters of pipeline left after we, if we sort of disregard the pre-let deals like Pick and Pay and the ones we push the button on. And I think if we do 100 to 130,000 a year, that's achievable. We did 160,000 3,000 last year and let it all. So that'll then take us to about 3 to 4 years to roll the remainder out.
Your vacancies were 8.9% for the June 20. That compares to 7.4 June 20, 7.4 yeah. for this year. A little weaker from December. What are collections like? The vacancies are sort of trending in the right direction. Have collections returned from their pandemic crisis?
Yeah, absolutely. At the moment, we're collecting 100% of what we're billing. I think for the year it was 98.9%, and that was really just because it was 98% in our retail and close on 100% in the other portfolios. So we are collecting what we're billing, fortunately. Just on the vacancies, it's something that you know we've been reporting on for a couple of years, and we look at it as the vacancy by value, because by GLA, you know, we've got a diverse portfolio, and when you look at the vacancies on the big logistics boxes, often it's a lot of square meters, but the rental's low and the value's quite low. So I think pleasingly that's at a sort of multi-year low at about 4.6% when measured by value.
Your loan to value, and we've chatted about this a fair bunch over the last year or so, down at 36.7%. That to me looks like about a sweet spot. Is that kind of a level that you're happy with?
It is. You know, I think obviously in tough markets, the lower the better. But at the same time, the interest rates are low, and I understand that inflation may be coming back. But you know, we've de-risked the business, de-risked the balance sheet to such an extent that I think running 35 to 40% loan to value for us at these attractively low interest rates is very comfortable. Gives us no sleepless nights. And in fact, you know, I think our strength and liquidity position enabled a bit of a share buyback post year end.
That is my sense, and I've seen this in a lot of locally listed companies. The pandemic has been immensely tough, most, you know, the worst year of a business's life. But a lot of businesses, and I think we can put Fortress in that stable, have come out of it stronger, better balance sheets, better asset base, and well positioned for the future. We're still in that pandemic, but at some point we're out of it and well positioned.
I think so, Simon. You know, I think we looked at it, and you know, even towards the end of 2019, and as we hit the pandemic, we took our medicine, and I think we took a lot of it, and we took a lot of the medicine early, and that certainly preserved the balance sheet. It rebased our distributable income, which is an important component of a REIT, and I think we now view ourselves as quite well positioned at the moment, and in able to take advantage of opportunities should they arise. And our base case is we've got the cash to roll out our pipeline, so we're gonna carry on. And I think fortunately we're not in crisis mode anymore. So I think we're in quite a good position to grow off this relatively low base.
We'll leave it there. Stephen Barnes, CEO of Fortress, appreciate the time today.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Jenny and I with Eugene Boyson, CEO of 4AX, but they will be rebranding to Cape Town Stock Exchange at the end of this month. Eugene, appreciate the early morning time. The rebranding, I mean, you really are trying to position the exchange in Cape Town, a sort of, there's some folks refer to it as the Silicon Cape. We've got a fair bit of activity down there. And therefore, I'm imagining part of that is to sort of attract new listings and more exciting sort of a Cape base, I imagine.
That's right. The Cape Town Stock Exchange is for small and medium-sized businesses. We're trying to focus on that segment in 100 million to 2 billion market capitalization. And the rebranding is really about getting better brand recognition for 4AX. I think all the new stock exchanges launched with an Alt-X, A2X, RX, 4AX, everyone had an X in their name. The X Factor, I think, is more about naming ourselves after the mother city and leveraging the recognition of the city we're in.
Yeah, I mean, you did make the comment in the press release. I saw that actually most exchanges around the world do actually have a name in their, or a city in their name. Some have got a country. I'm thinking the ASX, Australian Stock Exchange. And you say you're aiming at the sort of 100 million to 2 billion, sort of the small mid-cap sort of space traditionally. Equity and debt, because you've also, as I understand, got a debt listing license.
That's correct. So we're the only other exchange with both the equity and a debt listing license, and we're looking to launch our debt marketplace in the first week in October, have our first listing coming on board in that space. We also have our first another equity listing that will happen on our launch date on the 30th of September.
Okay, so you've already got that pipeline, because my next question is you know, what's going to drive this? The rebranding will get some folks to sit up and have a look, but you know, what's going to drive the increase in listings to the new Cape Town Stock Exchange?
So we've had a fairly healthy pipeline developing over the last 6 months, and the Cape Town Stock Exchange move is just the last domino in terms of us realizing and recognizing that pipeline. That pipeline's both healthy from an equity perspective and from a debt perspective, and we've got several underlying corporates already committed to the exchange.
And you're focusing here on primary listings. I mean, some of the exchanges have gone for sort of the dual listing, I imagine you would take a dual listing, but your focus is going to be primary listings.
That's correct. We work closely with all of our listed companies, not just the big guys. We believe in having good relationships. And we built a streamlined process for listing small to mid-sized corporates. So our focus area is primary listings. Mm-hmm. We believe we've got the underlying technology as well to handhold those same corporates post-listing through all their governance, transparency, managing shareholders, virtual AGMs. So to relieve the burden on issuers, not just from the listing process, but also the post-listing process.
Okay, because I was also wondering about that. And then I'm imagining, I mean, you know, you come in as a new exchange, you're going to be not virtual, you're electronic. You know, it makes it a lot simpler. You talk around virtual AGMs and the like. Is it cheaper for a company or cheapish so that they can manage the cost? Because a lot of the smaller companies complain around listing fees.
Our technology is in-house and cloud-based. It makes both listing and trading cheaper, faster, and secure. And it's on that basis that we are able to recognize quite a high degree of operational gearing, but mm-hmm. also pass those costs on to our listed companies.
What about more brokers? I mean, that's one of the issues. I mean, my broker, and I've got a traditional old-school broker, they don't offer me access. How are you going to solve that sort of final part of the loop to make it easier for the listeners out there to get involved?
So you hit the nail on the head. When we started the exchange, we started with just a single broker. Mm-hmm. We launched the open market on the 23rd of August, and we're now able to integrate with any broker in South African context.
Are you having conversations with the more traditional brokers to get them on?
Yes, we're having conversations, numerous of them, and we'll have an additional 3 brokers by the time the Cape Town Stock Exchange launches.
Okay, excellent. And that is, as you say, end of the month, we'll have, an old exchange, but rebranding as a new exchange, Cape Town Stock Exchange, aiming at those 100 million to 2 billion. So a nice space there. Eugene Boysen, CEO, appreciate your time this morning. That's it for today. The poll we are asking you to this morning on our LinkedIn and our Twitter accounts, and chatting with those results from Fortress with CEO Stephen Brown. The local listed REITs, I mean, make no mistake, it's been a tough pandemic for them. And truthfully, it was tough for them coming into the pandemic. But what we are seeing is they've kind of cleaned up their portfolios. They've cleaned up their metrics, such as loan to value. And they, in many cases, are frankly looking better in terms of REITs, some of them with offshore exposure, particularly into Central and Eastern Europe. The question on our LinkedIn and Twitter profile, is this a space you're looking to invest into? Perhaps you've been buying, perhaps you're still watching, or you're staying the heck away. I took the easy route. I bought some of the Satrix Fini ETF, which is mostly banks, got some insurers, and got some REITs in there as well. And that has been having a good time the last couple of months. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7 a.m. on the website, the app, and of course, wherever great podcasts are aggregated. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Kudora, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.